You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we learn about Earth Dinner, an effort to create a new Earth Day tradition.
First, federal health officials confirmed last week the Zika virus can cause serious birth defects like microcephaly and other serious brain anomalies. Microcephaly is an abnormal smallness of the head starting in infancy, which is associated with incomplete brain development. There has been an outbreak of Zika in South and Central America over the last several months, and the disease has spread through mosquitoes and unprotected sex.
While officials from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have warned that the Zika virus could spread further north than they previously thought, experts don't expect the virus to be transmitted here in Wisconsin. Dr. Nasia Suftar is with us now to talk about the threat of Zika nationwide and here in the state. She's the Medical Director of Infection Control at UW Hospital and Clinics and faculty at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health and the VA Hospital. Dr. Suftar, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, briefly remind us, what is Zika?
So Zika is a virus-borne illness caused by a flavivirus and transmitted by mosquitoes that has taken the world by storm since Brazil started reporting an unusually high number of cases and its association with congenital abnormalities in pregnant women.
Now, without pregnancy being involved, it seems like this virus doesn't have a strong impact on people, maybe not even noticeable symptoms. This could pass without people even knowing they have it in many cases. Is that right?
That's correct. So 80% of people will not have any symptoms, and 20% will have mild symptoms, you know, in the form of fever, a rash, joint pains, a headache, maybe red eyes for a few days. But generally, the symptoms are short-lived. People recover completely, and hospitalizations and complications are very rare, except in the case of the pregnant woman.
And in these pregnancies, very, very recently, it had been thought that almost certainly Zika was associated with microcephaly, with other development problems. Now it seems like we can take that word almost out. It's near certain at this point.
That is correct.
So let's talk about now the range of this disease, of Zika. The CDC announcing that the Zika virus could spread further north in the U.S. than previously thought. So how far is it expected to be spread and transmissible in the United States?
Well, so at least I think over 35 states have the capability of seeing local transmission of Zika virus. I think it all depends upon whether the vector, the particular mosquito that transmits Zika, is present in that in a particular state or not. And currently, at least, Wisconsin does not have the major vectors. At least most of Wisconsin doesn't have the major vectors that would transmit Zika. So I think it is unlikely that we would have a major issue with Zika.
But we haven't had any detected cases of Zika in the state. It sounds like it'll probably happen. We'll have Zika here one way or the other brought by travel. Somebody picks it up while traveling in the southern United States or beyond.
Yes, I think travel is going to be a very common thing, especially since most people are asymptomatic. They may come and not have symptoms when they arrive but develop symptoms here, or they may, you know, not have symptoms but be found to be positive by blood tests. So I think that's very likely that we'll see travel-associated Zika.
Talking to Dr. Nasia Suftar from UW-Madison. She's with UW Hospital and Clinics. Talking about Zika and its prospects for spread in the United States and Wisconsin, at present it looks like because of the mosquitoes we have, it's not likely to be heavily transmitted here in the state. Dr. Suftar, let's talk about precautions now for people, especially let's talk pregnant women in particular, traveling to Central or South America or through the summer to parts of the United States that could have this virus spreading. What kind of things should these women do?
So I think the most important thing is to, as the CDC recommends, is to really defer travel to the extent that it is possible. Now, sometimes that may not be possible for everyone. So in the event that a pregnant woman has to go to those areas where Zika is present and transmission is happening, I think the most important thing is going to try and prevent mosquito bites. So mosquito repellents are completely safe for pregnant women and should be used liberally. The other thing to remember is that unlike most other mosquitoes that are dusk biting, the virus that transmits Zika is day and night biting. So during the daytime, you're just as vulnerable as you might be at dusk. So again, you know, long sleeves, clothing, anything to deter the mosquito from getting to you and biting you is the idea.
And if someone gets the Zika virus and they're not pregnant, should they be worried at all?
You know, there's rare instances of Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a disease that causes paralysis of the motor nerves. So those are very rare complications, and it's not unique to Zika. They can happen with other viruses as well. But as a general rule, I would say not to be worried unless you're a man, in which case you can transmit it to your partner, who, if they are pregnant, can then get Zika.
And that's the other mode of transmission. Is this something that pregnant women are being warned about, also avoiding unprotected sex while pregnant?
I think that's extremely important.
So vaccines are something that people are wondering about at this point. If there's a possibility, and if so, how quickly that could be an effective vaccine and safe vaccine could be developed. What kind of things are you watching for?
Well, so, I mean, as you know, currently there is no vaccine. There's a number of research groups, some at UW and certainly around the world, that are furiously working on solutions, whether it's therapeutics or whether it's vaccines specific to Zika. But most of these things, you know, take several months, if not years, to come to fruition to the point where they could be considered safe for human use. So I think at least for the current and possibly the next few seasons coming around, I don't think that vaccine will be a readily available option.
Zika is one of many mosquito-borne illnesses, not certainly the most lethal worldwide. We've got a lot, malaria and many others. Is Zika, do you think, going to help focus public effort, public health efforts on not just Zika, but other mosquito-borne illnesses as well?
Oh, I think so, because the same mosquito that transmits Zika also transmits dengue and chikungunya. So I think that it will help a number of other mosquito-borne conditions if we focus our efforts on preventing Zika.
As I look at care requirements or as suggestions, especially for pregnant women, I keep seeing the phrase avoid mosquito bites. And I think even just living here in Wisconsin, much less the tropics, yeah, right, this sounds like something that's really not that easy to do. But we can actually make a significant difference through more judicious use of mosquito repellent, long sleeve clothing, things like that.
I think so. I mean, I think we as a society, you know, mosquito repellents is not something that we use a lot of. People are already having to wear sunscreen and so on. But I think especially for the pregnant woman, if you are wearing sunscreen, then apply that first and then apply the mosquito repellent on top of it. It's completely safe, and so I see no good reason why we shouldn't do it if you know yourself to be at high risk. So there is some gains to be made there, I think, if you take those common sense measures, you know, not having standing water in your backyard, for example, in states that have the mosquito that is capable of transmitting Zika.
I wanted to ask you, as somebody who tracks infectious diseases, what do you make of this sudden spread of this disease? It's something that had been around in Africa for quite a few years and really just exploded, it seemed like, very suddenly in Brazil and then beyond.
You know, that's a really good question, to which I think the answer is not known. You know, why now and why so suddenly and why this explosion of Zika? I think are all unanswered questions. But I think we've learned from other viral conditions, you know, something even as relatively well-known as influenza, is that viral behavior, particularly those that are vector-borne, is dependent on a number of conditions and really fairly unpredictable, I think, despite our best efforts.
And then I want to ask about the public health monitoring system in Wisconsin. Whether we're talking about Zika or a new type of influenza or you name it, what kind of efforts do we have in place to see when these diseases arise and help coordinate an effort to prevent their transmission?
Well, so we have a really robust division of public health that is coordinating the Zika response. And I think one thing that from the diagnostic testing standpoint, all the specimens are being sent to the state lab. So they have a really good handle on who's being tested for Zika, and they would know of all positives. It is a nationally notifiable condition, both the viral infection itself and any complications that arise from it, such as the congenital anomalies we mentioned. So I think even though we think the risk of Zika in Wisconsin is low, one can never be too prepared, and so they've really got a good infrastructure in place for doing that.
So as Zika is in the news, as the weather's warming up, are you at your unit there getting a lot of calls about Zika?
We get calls from, women who, you know, anticipate getting pregnant or who are pregnant, wondering about travel and the risks of travel. And, you know, it's rare that our advice is, you know, don't travel. But in the case of Zika, that's exactly what we're seeing. Now, there's too many unknowns, the risk is too high, and if it's travel that can be deferred, then defer it.
Dr. Softar, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Dr. Nasia Softar. She's Medical Director of Infection Control at UW Hospital and Clinics. She's faculty at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and at the VA Hospital. She joined us to talk about the threat of the Zika virus nationwide and prospects for it here in Wisconsin.